The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves are fattened, cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, good and bad alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you come in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back, everybody. What you've just heard is one of the strangest parables that Jesus ever taught. Okay? And more to the point, the very first people who ever heard this parable would have thought that it was strange. So if you thought that was kind of weird, I just want to tell you, you're normal. There's nothing wrong with you. Okay? Nothing wrong with you at all. Jesus does this in the New Testament sometimes when he talks about things that we don't want to hear about. He talks this way when he talks about sin and repentance, when he talks about heaven and hell. Deliberately exaggerates for maximum rhetorical effect. Reminds me of a quote from Flannery O'Connor, in which she said, "In the land of the deaf, you have to shout to be heard." So Jesus says, many are called, but few are chosen for God's heavenly banquet. And you and I, we want to be among those who are chosen, don't we? Yes, we do. Not only ourselves, but all of our family, all of our friends, especially those who are furthest away and most need to hear and respond to God's invitation. God invites everybody, don't get me wrong. He plays no favorites. So Jesus today helps us to respond by telling us this little parable about how not to respond. So the kingdom of heaven, it can be likened to a king who had a wedding feast for his son, and he sent out his invitations. And everybody turned it down. They couldn't be bothered. They all had something better to do. So we sent out his invitations a second time, gave him a second chance, but nobody could be bothered. They all had something better to do. One went away to his farm, and another went away to his home, and another went away to his family. And so nobody takes up the king's incredible offer to come to the wedding banquet, the royal feast for his son. So what does he do? Does he call off the feast? No. He expands the guest list and lets in absolutely everybody, until you come to the end of this parable with this strange little anecdote about the guy who shows up not properly dressed. And what does the king do to that poor guy? Throws him into the outer darkness where there's wailing and grinding of teeth. What a strange parable. Okay? Let's take a closer look. All right. At its face value, this parable was a message of Jesus to the Israelites of his own time who would not recognize him as the Messiah. All those who were messengers sending out the message, inviting the people to the feast. Those were the prophets, right? They were all mistreated. You know what's something interesting you might want to do sometime? Do a search on the computer about the death of the Old Testament prophets, just for fun. Just do a search. You know what's interesting about it? Almost all of them died martyrs' deaths. So all these people, they all say no to the wedding invitation. And so the king expands the guest list and he welcomes absolutely everybody into his feast. But the question now is, why would anybody turn this down? Why would anybody turn down the invitation? You try to think about what this might be like if you were invited to a royal wedding. Try to imagine maybe it's in the news and the British royal family, there's some wedding, and everybody's talking about it, and it's all over the television and the internet, and suddenly, lo and behold, one day you get an invitation. What would you do? I can tell you what you wouldn't do. You wouldn't say, let me check my social calendar and see if I can squeeze it in. No, you'd go, right? You'd find a way. It's the event. But nobody goes. Why? Because they all have something more important to do. One guy has to go to his home, one guy has to go to his place of work, one guy has to go to his family. What's interesting about that is that none of those are bad things. They're all good things. And this is one of the first and most important lessons here in this parable. It's a question of whether or not we place God first. You know, the difference between good and evil, it's not always the difference between choosing the best and choosing the worst. The enemy of the best is very often the good, but something that is not as good as another higher priority. Imagine a man who has a really important job, and he's about his job, and it's an important job, and he's working very hard at his job, but he's neglecting his family. There's nothing wrong with the job. The job is good, but not when there's something better that's being neglected. The enemy of the best is not the worst. The enemy of the best very often is the good. In the same gospel according to St. Matthew, later on, Feast of Christ the King in a few weeks, we're going to hear a story of the Last Judgment. And all those in the Last Judgment are sent to heaven and those who are sent to hell, especially those who lose their souls and are sent to hell. It's not because they did evil things. It's rather they neglected to do the good that was right in front of them. The most important things. So the question you have to ask yourself is, how important are the things of God and His commandments and His call to His kingdom? How important are those to you? Are they your top priority? I remember back in the seminary, a professor said to us, gentlemen, here's the most important lesson I can teach you. The first thing is to make the first thing the first thing. And the first thing of all is placing God at the top of all of your priorities. Do you sacrifice other things for God, or do you sacrifice God for other things? A little something to think about. And while you're thinking about that, think about this. Saint after saint after saint that talks about this parable that we just heard has told us that it refers in a special way to the Mass. Not only because the Mass is a mysterious prefigurement of this heavenly banquet, this union with Christ our Lord that we're all called to, not only because of that, but also because your demeanor and your response to God's invitation to come to the Mass is very similar to your demeanor to God's invitation to come to His heavenly kingdom. Notice, the same excuses that people use not to come to the Mass are the same excuses used here in this parable why people will not enter into the Lord's wedding feast. Is the first thing in our lives or not? It's the first and most important lesson here in this parable. You know, just yesterday, the church beatified a remarkable young man. His name was Carlo Acutis. He was only 15 years old. You might have read about this in the news. Carlo Acutis. But he was born in 1991. He's a contemporary of ours. And this guy was beatified. That means he's one step away from becoming a saint. Perfectly normal kid. Perfectly normal kid. You know what made him holy? He had all of his priorities straight. Here's a kid who loved Pokemon. Here's a kid who loved Super Mario Brothers. It's just that he loved Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament more than anything else. That's the most important lesson here that we hear in this parable. And it leads us to the second one. This mysterious little mysterious little detail with this man who's thrown out for not being properly dressed. After all the trouble the king has gone to invite all these people to the wedding feast, he throws him out because he doesn't have a wedding garment. Seems quite arbitrary. But you might have guessed, it's not exactly about clothing. Turns out that in the Bible, a wedding garment is a metaphor for the righteous deeds that show, or are supposed to show forth, when we do God's will. It's in the book of the prophet Isaiah, it's in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, it's in the book of Revelation. The righteous deeds of the saints are the wedding garment of the bridegroom, they tell us. And what that's supposed to mean is that it's not enough just to put God first, or to say you put God first. You have to act like it. As you know, it's entirely possible to be about the things of religion and never to be converted in your own heart. I might have told you this story before about a man I know. He was talking to this priest, and he was boasting about his spiritual life. And the man said, "I got a great spiritual life." And the priest said, "Tell me about your great spiritual life." And the man said, "Oh, I go to Mass 5 days a week. I say the rosary every day. I get to confession every month. I stop by the church on the way home and I pray before the Blessed Sacrament. I got a great spiritual life." And the priest says, "Hey, all that stuff is great, but answer me this. How are you treating people?" It's entirely possible to be about the things of religion and not to be converted in our own hearts. That's the man who doesn't have the wedding garment on. And how's he treated here in the parable? Treated exactly the same as somebody who never said yes to the invitation is in the first place. He gets bounced. He gets bounced from the wedding feast of the Lamb. So a couple of important things here to think about, brothers and sisters. A couple of important things. Putting God first and acting like it while we still can. Especially helpful in this strange year in which we've all been living, which has all of us a little bit off kilter. We don't know quite what to expect. We don't know quite what tomorrow will bring. And one of the things we should internalize from that uncertainty is the blessings that you have today might not be here tomorrow. A word to the wise: don't take them lightly. Are you about the business of God and building up His kingdom, or are you about the business of building up a kingdom of your own? Something to think about and to pray about today. And if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.